Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come into Thy presence as New Jerusalem Church, we pray, Father, the day before the day of Pentecost, when You came down in the upper room and baptized Your disciples, Your apostles, with Holy Ghost and with fire. The day that heaven came down, for where You are, there is heaven. Yes, Father, we thank You for Your precious word. I will walk in them and move among them, and I will be their God. Rika Poshono the Batandiri Shaprabola of Fandala Standard Weekend aside. We thank You for Your words, Lord, that You come down to dwell among us, not only to fellowship with us, but to restore us into the image of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, Father, we thank You for the day of Pentecost where You came down to begin the restoration of Thy children into the image of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory unto glory. Continue to restore us. Then on that day when the trumpet sounds, all three of us and our families and our loved ones, and Father, all those whom Thou hast known will accept Thy truth even before the foundation of the world, that every one of them, Father, will come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and will walk in the light of the truth in Thy church, for Thy word is truth. Father, speak to us. We need Thy word, Father. For You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You are God Almighty. Speak through us. Speak to us. Strengthen us and empower us and transform us one more time into Thine image, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A natural man and a spiritual man. There are two differences between the way the apostles lived before the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the way they lived after they received the Holy Spirit. Peter ran for his life, betrayed Jesus. Well, actually, he didn't betray Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus, but Peter denied Jesus three times, and the rooster crowed. And Jesus looked at him, and he repented, and he considered that he was not a disciple anymore. He was not worthy of that glorious name. But Jesus explicitly told the sisters, go tell my disciples and Peter that I go before you into Galilee. And when he met them, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter replied three times. He had his chance to confess in front of others that he loved Jesus more than anything. But they were still natural men, because if you look at the conversations, they asked Jesus, oh Lord, when are you going to come? When are you going to restore the kingdom? When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times and the kingdoms, But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then shall ye be witnesses. Stay in the upper room until the Holy Spirit comes down. And then the Holy Spirit came down with a great wind and tongues of fire, and they began to speak in other tongues, and people could understand them. And Peter stormed out of the upper room. He wasn't that same Peter. And the Sanhedrin, the people that wanted to kill him, the Jews saw him, and they whispered to themselves, "Did you see his boldness? Is this the same Peter that denied Jesus three times and said, 'I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't know who he is.' He is saying, 'This Jesus whom you have crucified is the Lord and Christ.' Is he not afraid of the Romans? Is he not afraid of the Sanhedrin?" And Peter said, "We cannot but speak what God has told us to speak." And that day 3,000 people were saved because the Holy Spirit came into Peter. So what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into a person? He becomes a spiritual man. When the Holy Spirit comes into the person, the spirit that is dead is resurrected. Jesus came to Nicodemus and he said, "I have come to give you a new revelation, Nicodemus." But Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was afraid. And Nicodemus said, "You're a teacher from God. That is wonderful, Jesus, because you're a great teacher." And Jesus said, "That's all good. But except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And water stands for water baptism, being identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit baptism stands for the resurrection, like Jesus was resurrected by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit that is dead is resurrected. Jesus told Adam and Eve, well, actually he told Adam, "You can eat of any fruit of the garden, but the day you eat of that fruit that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Well, actually, after he ate the fruit, when God asked him, "Adam, where art thou?" He said, "I was afraid of thee and hid in the garden." Well, God told him he would die. Well, God is asking, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam is talking and replying, saying, "I was afraid." And then God said, "You ate of the fruit, didn't you? And your spirit died." Adam's spirit and Eve's spirit died on that day. What happens when the spirit dies? When the spirit dies, you cannot have fellowship with God. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In the Old Testament, when they came to the mountain and God started speaking to them and they wanted to worship, they were filled with fear. They cried out to Moses. All Israel cried out saying, "Moses, we don't want to hear God's voice lest we die. We are scared. We are terrified of him. You go talk to him and you come and tell us what he's saying. Because if we look at him and we worship him directly and hear his voice, we'll die. We are terrified. Look at the mountain. It's smoking. The mountain is shaking. His voice sounds like this big sound trumpet, a million watts. We can't handle it." And then the Holy Spirit came down. "You shall receive power." The power of God came down. The same power that raised Christ from the dead came into Peter. And he translated instantly from a natural man into a spiritual man. That's why when we talk to people and tell them the gospel and the things of God, they think we have lost our mind. Just a few days back, four judges in the Supreme Court voted to have churches start worship in California. The other four judges voted against opening up worship. And then the Supreme Court judge voted in favor of the churches not reopening with full strength. I'm not saying the timing of all the riots in this country coincided with the Supreme Court justice rejecting the worship of God, but all I know is that this nation and any other nation exists because of worship of the children of God. And when that is stopped, the salt that makes the food taste good is gone. Without the Prince of Peace, there will be zero peace. So somebody said, why did the terrorists attack 911? Why are all these riots happening? Why are all these problems happening? Why? Why doesn't God intervene? Why does he allow COVID-19? Why does he allow tsunamis? Well, the answer came. You wanted God out of the dollar. You wanted God out of the national anthem. You wanted God out of the mother's womb. You wanted God out of schools, and God, being a gentleman, left. After you chased God out because he's a gentleman, why are you asking why didn't God stop this? You chased him out, right? Out of USA. And now you're asking why? You're asking the wrong person. Ask yourself why you chased Jesus out of USA. If you want the peace to come back, you need to bring Jesus back. If you want the peace to come back, you need to bring Jesus back in schools. You need to bring Jesus back in the mother's womb. You need to bring Jesus back in Congress and Senate and Supreme Court and the Department of Justice and in the governor's mansion. And above all, you need to bring Jesus back in the hearts of the people. Now, the thing that has happened is not beyond salvation, because God can take the desperate situation and he can create a miracle. He can take the wilderness and turn it into a fertile place, like Israel used to be a desert and now it is one of the most fertile places in the world. But God will transform USA and the rest of the world through the foolishness of preaching. Why is preaching foolish according to the word of God? People want to see God. They want God to come down saying, I am Jesus. I exist. These people are my children. You need to believe in me. But instead, God sends people like Moses who cannot speak, people like Peter who denied Christ 3 times, and sends them to preach. Because God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound and put to shame the things that are. And he has chosen the things that people call trash and garbage and nothing to preach his word. That is why the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But when he puts away all his logic, all his reasoning, and starts opening the door by faith, and starts accepting, it's the same thing a person does when he has cancer. The doctor says, you have cancer. If the person says, doctor, you're crazy. Who are you to tell me that I've got cancer? Well, that person is going to die. But if he listens to the doctor and says, well, I don't understand what you're saying. I didn't go to medical school. But, well, let me go ahead and take that chemo. And then, you know, first stage cancer, he's obviously going to get healed and he's going to become normal. And he's going to become a normal man. The same way, all men have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. When a man of God, a preacher, tells them, you are a sinner and you need Jesus, they need to accept it and seek forgiveness, confession, and the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And when they do that, they get changed from a natural man to a spiritual man. See, 99.9% of the people that are in this world go to the lake of fire. Why do only 0.1% go to heaven? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. God's word may sound foolish, but God's foolishness is wiser than men. So why do people think the Bible is foolish, our God is foolish? Because they think with their 1-pound brain. Our God is an infinite God, omniscient, omnipotent, almighty God. We cannot understand him with our 1-pound brain. We cannot even understand the apple. We cannot even understand the orange. We can enjoy the delicious fruit of the apple. We can enjoy the delicious fruit of the orange. We can enjoy the fellowship of our friends. But we cannot understand the atoms and molecules and how an apple or an orange or a human being or our friends function, because that secret only God knows. Even the greatest physician will tell you that I know only 0.001% about the human body. The greatest biologist will tell you that I know only 0.001% about the apple. But apples are delicious. That is how God is. So all these atheists and people of other religions need to try to stop trying to understand the Bible. They need to stop trying to understand God. They need to stop trying to understand how the blood of Jesus that was shed 2,000 years back can forgive their sins today. They need to stop trying to understand how the Holy Spirit can come in and you can speak in tongues. They need to throw their 1-pound brain in the freezer and use the brain of God. Well, not literally, but they need to start thinking like they do to the apple. They need to start trying to enjoy God. That is why the Bible never says, try to understand God and all will be well with you. The Bible says in Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You will never understand God. It will take us eternity to understand God. That's why in heaven there are universities, there are classes. I had a dream once and I was in heaven. One of old pastors of New Jerusalem church that passed away, he hated wearing a suit and a tie. But he was out there in a big conference with a suit and a tie. And there were many saints gathered and he was preaching to them. There's Sunday class, there is worship, there is preaching. There is knowledge being imparted, because it will take eternity for us to understand God. God is infinite. His joy is infinite. Therefore, instead of judging or trying to understand why God tells us to do certain things, we need to move forward by faith. So before we go travel with our family, let's say we are going to Brother Jose's place in South Carolina. We're going to look at the GPS and route and where we can stay. And then we are going to chart the route. And then we are going to see this is how many days it's going to take, how much money I have in the bank, how much gas I need to put in my car. And then we plan it, take leave from our boss, and then we start going on the highway. That's not what happened to Abraham. God told Abraham, leave your family, your kin, your relatives in Iran, which was Persia at that time. And he said, now pack up and go to the country, nation where I am going to lead you, and I will make thee the father of many nations. And what did Abraham do? He said, Lord, where are you taking me? Do you have a GPS? How long is it going to take? How much money do I need? Abraham didn't ask him any questions. Abraham said, Lord, you want me to go? God said, yes. When do you want me to go? God said, now. Where do you want me to go? I won't tell you, but go. G-O. Leave. And Abraham trusted God and left. To a natural man, that may sound foolish. Abraham was a very wealthy man in Iran. In today's standards, he was a billionaire. And Abraham left everything. And with his parents, he left. That is faith. And that is why in the book of Isaiah, God says, look at Abraham, your father, and Sarah that bore you. I called him alone and increased him. And today we see Israel. No nation on earth is able to fight with a small dot in the map. God's word has to be obeyed regardless of whether we understand it or not. That is faith. God's word may sound foolish according to this world's standards, but God's word will not return unto God void, and therefore what God tells us, we have to accept, because he's smarter than us, he's wiser than us, he's more powerful than us, and he knows what he's saying. And so Abraham obeyed, and he was blessed. So what are some of the things that God said in the Bible that made the wise men go nuts, but the spiritual men were blessed because they believed it? The worldly men said, oh, this is foolishness. But the spiritual men said, this is wonderful. So God told Moses, oh, you want water? You guys are thirsty? Oh, sure. There's a rock right here. Go ahead and talk to the rock. Well, Moses actually talked to the rock. Well, actually, God told him first, strike the rock with thy rod and then speak to the rock. But let's say the second time Moses had obeyed and spoke to the rock. You know who would have been there if that happened in the 21st century? CNN, ABC, CBS, all of them would have been there taking videos and broadcasting. It's a, can you see this guy? This guy is nuts. He's talking to the rock. And what happened? When Moses did what God told him, he understood God in his spirit. He understood God in his spirit. And water came out. Well, CNN is not going to show that part. They're going to show only that part where Moses spoke to that rock, and it sounded really foolish. Water did come out. God said, speak to the rock, I'll bring water out. And water came out. And then Ezekiel, what did God say? Speak to the dry bones. There's CNN again. Oh, can you see? Can you all see how crazy this Christian religion is? there's God and there is Ezekiel. And my goodness, look at that. God is telling Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones. Well, can anything be more crazier than that? That's the headline on CNN. They're not going to publish the fact that when Ezekiel spoke to the bones and said, "Draw ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Finally, there was an army that stood up. God's word is true. And then Joshua. The whole world was after Joshua. They wanted to completely wipe out Israel. And it became dark, or it was getting to be dark. And Joshua said, "Lord, I don't know. We are in a jungle in Canaan. These people will wipe us out. If it gets dark, they will slaughter us because we don't know the terrain." And God said, "Well, why don't you speak to the sun?" Excuse me, Lord. What did you just say? Speak to the sun and ask the sun to stop and ask the moon to stop. "Oh, sure. Oh, yes, Lord." I completely forgot that this is Lord God Almighty that created the sun. "Yes, Lord. Sun, stand still. Thou moon." Of course, CNN was there. ABC, CBS. This time, MSN joined. NBC and CBC and even Fox News showed up. Look at this crazy guy speaking to the sun. Of course, they didn't publish the fact that the sun and the moon stopped and Joshua wiped out all the enemies. Well, the Jews were there, the news reporters were there when Jesus said, "Open, move the stone." They said, "This can't get crazier. This guy is thinking." And this Jesus, he could have come 4 days earlier and heal this guy. And now he's dead and he's thinking. Bad timing. And he calls himself the Son of God. And he wants them to roll the stone. Well, let's take a video and publish it on YouTube so people will see how crazy this religion that everyone is talking about is. Poor Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, how they got deceived. And then Jesus speaks, "Lazarus, come forth." Well, you know actually what happened. Lazarus came forth 4 days later and he came alive. But what is really not clearly written in the Bible is that when Mary sent the message to Jesus and said, "My brother is sick," Jesus prayed and the Father said, "No, do not go now. I will tell you when to go." It is written in the book of John, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I do. My Father showeth me what I need to do, and I imitate him and do exactly what he tells me. I do nothing of myself but what I see the Father doing." When Jesus was in prayer, the Father appeared to Jesus and enacted exactly, he acted out, God the Father acted out exactly what Jesus needs to go do. How he needs to go to the grave and say, "Roll away the stone," and say, "Lazarus, come forth." The Father showed Jesus everything that he should be doing. Jesus spoke to the dead body. You know, you wouldn't, if someone is dead, you wouldn't say, "Hey, Charlie, come forth." Because then what will happen, you know, they'll come to you and say, "Well, you know, I think we need to take you to a psychiatrist." But Jesus said, because he was the Son of God, and Lazarus came forth. So the topic of the message is, this message is going to be published on the internet. Don't try to understand God because you won't. Don't try to understand the Bible because you won't. Consume the Bible. Eat the Bible. It is food. You don't try to, when you're hungry, you don't try to analyze How is this? What is this rice made of? What is this hamburger that McDonald's that I just bought? What is it made of? Let me analyze the atoms under a microscope and see what is happening, how it got generated. No, you're hungry. You don't care. Hey, give me some ketchup. I need lettuce and tomato. Good. Good job. Honey, it really smells good. Crunch. I've got the first bite. Well, if that's how we eat, why are we analyzing the Word of God and trying to understand the Word of God before we give our heart to Jesus? By the time you even understand less than 0.0001% of the Word of God or God, you will end up in the lake of fire. You will never understand God. Even in eternity, in a transformed body, you're not going to understand God. It's going to take eternity. That is God. So there's this big giant. There's no one in the army of Israel. His name is Goliath. There's no one in Israel to slay Goliath. And he curses God. He curses Jehovah. He curses everybody. And everybody runs from him. Saul, he runs from him too. And then they said, well, you know, human wisdom, the 1-pound brain works again. Go ahead and take the king's sword and the king's armor. And, you know, David puts all of that. He can't even walk. He said, this is crazy. Why do I need to use all this armor? Well, because this guy is big. He might kill you. Well, I don't need all this. Put that in the trash can. Be careful, David. That's the king's armor. So he throws it all and says, you guys can have it. I don't need this armor. And then he goes, gets his shepherd's staff, and then gets his sling and a bunch of stones. And he tells the giant, okay, I'm ready. You come to me with sword. I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. So what? David was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and God told him, go. First shot, it'll go straight into his forehead. He'll be meat. Cut his head off and chase the children of the Philistines, and they'll run for their life. No more will they blaspheme and kill the children of Israel. Oh, show tolerance. Well, that tolerance to Goliath and the Philistines, they will kill all of you if you show them tolerance, because they came to do that. And that's why God sent David, that little boy. So the giant saw David with the small stick, a shepherd's staff, and a stone. And he said, hey, wait a minute. I am Goliath. I am this great man of magnificence. My name itself says, I have come to show my majesty. And you think I am a dog? You come to me with a stick and a piece of stone? What do you think you are, little boy? I'm going to chop your head off today. Coming to me, did, and he looked at the Philistine army and said, can you see this, guys? This guy says he represents God. Look at this God. All he has is a little boy with a stick and a rock. He thinks I'm a dog. And they all cheered Goliath and said, oh, just crunch him. Knock his head off. And David says to Goliath, here's a present for you from God Almighty, Jehovah. Zoom! That stone sinks into the forehead of Goliath. He's dead! And all the Philistines run for their life. That's how God works.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Who was the natural man? That was Goliath. He said, these people are crazy. They think I'm a dog. They sent a boy with a stick and a rock. They are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So there is a concept in all these. God will not do a miracle until we give something. Speak to the rock, speak to the dry bones, speak to the sun, speak to the dead body. Get a small stone and a stick. It doesn't matter if it is worthless. I need something. You have to give me something. David gave that rock and that stick to God. And then Moses. He said, Lord, these people are about to wipe me out. And if they don't stone me to death, Pharaoh will cut my head off. And then there is this big Red Sea, this ocean. Miles and miles, everywhere that I see is water and is fury, those waves. And God said, what is that in your hand? Well, that little stick that I used to use to direct the sheep. Raise that stick. Give it to God. Lord, it's worthless. No, it's not. Give it to me. Are you feeling like you're a worthless piece of a stick? Give yourself to God. And God will empower you with His power. Moses gave the stick to God. He raised the stick, and the Red Sea split apart, and God made a highway. That's how God works. Jesus invited to Cana. No wine. That precious grape juice that makes people glad, especially during a wedding, it was not there. No grape juice. And they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, they don't have any grape juice. Jesus didn't tell them, well, you guys don't do good planning. I'm going to fire your manager. No, he didn't say anything. He said, okay, no wine, no fresh grape juice. What do you have? You have to give something to the Lord. And they said, well, we've got about 6 water pots. But they are not full. And Jesus said, okay, go ahead and fill it up with water. And they said, we filled it up. Now go ahead and draw it and give it to the governor of the feast. I'm sure one of them thought, well, wait a minute. It's still water. I know it's water. It's H2O. And what if the governor slaps me and throws the water on my face? No. His mom, who knows him, said, do whatever he says. Don't ask questions. Just do it. And so they took the water and went and served it to the governor. As soon as they went to the governor and stood before him and said, governor, here is some fresh grape juice. The water turned into wine. So God has almost 0 part in miracles. We have 100% part in miracles. Miracles do not happen until we obey. And miracles happen because of the word of Almighty God. And when we obey His word, that word is always already there. It's spoken. And the reason I'm saying that 100% it is us is not because God is not behind it. Because if we don't accept His word, the water won't be turned into wine. If those guys had said, well, I got a PhD from Harvard University. I don't believe in this stuff. It wasn't chemistry, by the way. They just believed it. Miracles happen when we accept the word of God. Yes, the people, the servants that served the water to the governor in faith were 100% responsible for the miracle that happened. Because that's why Jesus, when people thanked you, oh, thank you for healing my eyes. Thank you for raising me up. Thank you for waking up my son from death. What did Jesus say? Well, thanks for being grateful? No. Did he say, well, I had 99% part and you had 1%? He said, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. He wanted the people to understand that 100% is in us. people say, where is the God of Elijah? Well, God asks, where are the Elijahs of God? I am where I always were. Where are you? And people didn't have any food. And what did Jesus say? Oh, just make them sit down in groups and get them ready for food. But Lord, there's no food. I just do what I tell you. Make them sit down. Get ready for food. And they all sat down. He took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes and blessed it and fed the 5,000 besides women and children. There was a great man of God who had an orphanage. And he ran out of food. Thousands of children. The next morning, no food. He said, okay, kids, everybody take their spoon and fork in their hand. And one little boy said, but daddy, there's no food. Just do what I tell you. God will supply all our need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for this food. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Knock on the door. Oh, who is the owner of this orphanage? Oh, it's me. There is a ship that is slowly sinking in the harbor. And they have a lot of grain, a lot of food. So somebody told us, don't let this food waste. Take it to that orphanage. And he came and looked out, and there were trucks and trucks and trucks lined up for miles with food. They ate for years and years and years that food that God provided. Well, that shouldn't be surprising. There was no ship, and God rained manna from heaven. With God, nothing is impossible. They actually saw the manna come from heaven. They saw it rain breakfast. They couldn't get their god Balaam to accept their sacrifice. No fire. Elijah poured water on the sacrifice. Flooded the sacrifice with water, yet God's fire came and consumed the water and the sacrifice. And someone lost an axe. They borrowed an axe at Rent-A-Center to chop a tree. And the axe fell into the water. And they went to the prophet. And the prophet, what do? I have to pay for the axe and I have to pay for the rent. And I don't have any money. I don't know what to do. And he said, what do you have? Well, I have a little stick right here. Why don't you go and throw the stick in the water? And when he threw the stick in the water, the iron started floating. You know, if Archimedes was there, he would have said, wait a minute, you're destroying the laws of science. This is not supposed to float according to the Archimedes principle. Well, Archimedes, just relax. Sit in the couch and rock yourself. Because there's a greater law than the laws of science. That's the law of God. God does things that make the wise men of this world foolish. And those who are considered foolish, like we, the children of God, wise. We may not understand how it works, but we know it works. God heals cancer. He heals COVID. He heals death. He brings people back from life. He can clean up demon-possessed people whom the psychiatrist thinks are mentally deficient. He can grow a hand from your shoulder if you don't have one. With him, nothing is impossible. Well, Peter was scared of the super cyclone, the big tornado, the big storm. It was like a super cyclone. Kind of like the one that wiped out 2 states in India. So what did Jesus do? He said, oh, you're scared of the cyclone, the storm? Oh, okay. Why don't you go and jump from the boat and walk on the water? Well, he did. And then he learned how to walk on the water by holding Jesus. And they both walked into the boat, got into the boat, and the super cyclone was gone. Abraham, you're only 75 years old. You're too young to have a child. Let's wait till you're 100 years old. I need money to pay tax to IRS. Really, brother? They just sent me a tax notice. So, Peter, you know fishing, right? Go ahead and go fish. And the first fish that comes out in its mouth will be a gold coin. Go pay the tax. Paul and Silas saying, they beat us up and threw us in dungeon and chained us so we cannot move. So what does Paul do? Oh, let us start praising Jesus Christ, because they didn't close our mouth, and an earthquake, and God starts the church in Philippi. So, day of Pentecost tomorrow, we need to understand that our God needs to be worshipped in the Spirit. He works in a way that might appear foolish to natural man, but to spiritual men who are filled with the Holy Spirit, God's ways are not foolish. To deliver a message to Pharaoh, God chose Moses, who hardly couldn't speak. Well, his brother Aaron could speak better. Why didn't God choose Aaron? Nope. Then Aaron will think, ha, I'm smart, I'm very eloquent. No, God wanted the glory, so he chose Moses, who couldn't speak. To slay a giant, God chose a kid. To come into this world to save us, he chose a manger to be born. To preach the divine gospel, he chose fishermen. To speak to the wandering prophet Balaam, he spoke through a donkey. To lead 1 million people to Canaan, he chose a dead end road. That's why Pharaoh said, oh, this God doesn't know direction. He doesn't have GPS. I know what's going to happen. They're going to be stuck before the ocean. We can capture them and bring them back to Egypt. He underestimated God. And so Pharaoh and the land of Egypt, the army of Egypt, sank in the Red Sea. And then finally, to make man in his own image, because God wanted to have sons and daughters. He wanted to have a family. So what did God do? To make man in his own image, to be his children, God took the dust of this earth, something that was so worthless, so useless, and makes you dirty. God took the dirt, the dust, and then he formed it. And breathed into it, and man became a living soul. And that's what we are, made from the dust of this earth. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, when the trumpet sounds, this dust is going to become like Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Everyone was certain. Yeah. Amen. Everyone was certain that God would lose. But at the last split second, he won. And even the devil doesn't have a clue how that happened. I was winning until the last split second. The last split second, God won. This is our God, creator, deliverer, infinite in wisdom, who knows the eternity of the past, what is happening in the present, and has planned our future eternity, and who calls us his children. Let us just call him Daddy, Abba Father. We love you and enjoy his presence. Like the man of God to whom they came and said, this is an awesome place, but the water is terrible. As they said in 2 Kings 2 chapter 19, 20 and 21. And the man of God said, I understand this place is good. The water is bad. The ground is barren. Bring me a cruse and put salt. And they brought it to him. And the man of God took the salt with the cruse and put it on the water and said, God has healed the water. And God healed the water and the barren ground. The salt stands for praise, for worship, for glorifying God. So God may take us through challenges, through temptation, through problems. But in all these situations, in everything, we need to give thanks. Though the fig tree do not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the flocks be cut off from the field, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for he shall make my feet like hind feet, and make me to ride upon the highest places of the earth. Who owns this universe? It is God. Because even if we lose everything, even if we lose our life, he can raise it up. He can give back our life. He can give back everything we lost. So, to all who have lost everything in COVID and in every other situation in their life, the Bible says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Our duty is to focus on the source of our spiritual life, the source of our health, the source of our happiness, the source of our finance. If someone gives us a cup of water, let's stop thanking the cup. Let's thank the person who gives the water. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The natural man understandeth not the things of God. For their foolishness unto him. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. These things are understood in the spirit. So when we have challenges, when we have problems, when we have difficulties, let's get filled with the spirit, start speaking in tongues and praising him. And then we will enjoy God. We have been created to enjoy. We have been created to obey. No questions asked. Let's just obey him. Let's just enjoy him. And let's just move forward. Amen. May the Lord bless these words. And may the Lord strengthen us. And give us a wonderful day of Pentecost. And may that be every day in our life. The power of God. Praise God.